Good morning, everyone. So today's topic is Rambam's view on Hashgacha. It's a very relevant topic, especially as we'll see to our Parshios. And I'll tell you a interesting story why I decided to talk about it today. But first, we have to finish up from last year. So in the previous year, we were discussing the question of Hishtadlus for Tzadikim. We noted that there are those who claim that tzaddikim don't have to do as much hishtadlus. They can be someich hananes to a certain degree. And we saw last week that the Ramban doesn't seem to subscribe to that. We saw a number of Rambans, including his position that we're meant to learn from Yaakov Avinu that he was mishtadl b'chol kocho to fight Esav or war, diplomacy, and that indicates that even a tzaddik isn't exempt from hishtadlos. Maybe even a tzaddik with avtacha isn't exempt from hishtadlos. We talked about the Ramban at the end of the Chukosai regarding medicine, which seems to contradict that, and we suggested that medicine might be a little bit different. And then we talked about the Chazon Ish and the sugya of Chachamim lo tzrichin etirusa. The Gemara Bava Basra says that Rabbanan are exempt from paying for the taxes of the wall because they don't need protection. We saw the Chazon Ish wonder, how is that true? Don't Chachamim also have to do hishtadlus? And the Chazon Ish answers, yes, they do. And accordingly, if there was a city which exclusively held Chachamim, they would in fact have to build a wall. But when there are non-Chachamim in the city, the Chacham don't have to contribute. And the reason for that is because Chachamim, because of their bitachon, are zochet to shmira. In other words, be'etzem, they don't benefit from the well. It's not like a well. Chachamim have to pay for a well because they drink water. But they don't really benefit from the wall because they are zochet to special siyata d'shmaya, special shmira. And therefore, they don't benefit from it. They don't have to pay for it. Now, the chiddush here is that in the Gemara is saying that even though they do actually have to live in a wall, in a city with a wall, but since they don't benefit from this wall's city, so then they don't have to pay for it. It's an interesting discussion. What does this sugya in Bava Basra have to do with the contemporary question of yeshiva students participating in the army in Eretz Yisrael or not? Is it relevant or is it not? Now is not the time to go into that, though there are some interesting marmakomos. One very important marmakom is an article that Rav Lichtenstein wrote on the ideology of Hester. But I want to instead discuss what seems to be a stira, actually two stiros, in the position of the Chazon Ish, and how could we better understand this position. So to appreciate the issues in the Chazon Ish, again, we're starting off with a review from last week or continuation of last week, so you should be using last week's Bar Makomos and this week's Bar Makomos on Hashgacha and the Rambam we'll get to shortly. So I think let's go ahead and take one step back and figure out what does bitachon actually mean. So the Chazon Ish in Sefer Emunah Bitachon Perek Beis begins by telling us that bitachon is widely misunderstood. Many pious people think that if you trust in God, then everything will turn out as you wish. All you have to do is have trust, and then you're going to get it. It's going to be, you'll be saved, for example, guaranteed savior. And there are great thinkers that hold that view. Another time, perhaps we can talk about who they are and why they say that. Rav Dessler has a famous essay in which he argues against the Chazon Ish, for example. But that's not today's topic. So the Chazon Ish says that's incorrect. And one reason, obviously, that's incorrect, seemingly, is like we have many great tzaddikim and chassidim and bali bitachon who died. I mean, look at the tzaddikim who were killed in the Holocaust. Are we going to say that they lacked bitachon? That's very hard to imagine. Even if someone believes kol ma de'avid rachmano letav avid, that doesn't mean they could be saved. It just means that whatever happens is certainly for the good. And it may very well be that the thing that they're afraid of is going to be turn out that's what's for the best. So if bitachon doesn't mean that we are guaranteed that whatever we hope for, we're going to get, then what does bitachon mean? So let's take a look at the Chazon Ish. Taos no shanes nis azrecha belev rabim b'musag bitachon. So many people have a big mistake about what bitachon means. Shem bitachon mishamish lamida mehulala v'ikaris b'fia chasidim. Bitachon, which is indeed a very elevated, praiseworthy mida, nistoveva b'musag chova l'amin kol mikra shapogesha adam v'amidaso likras asid bilti mochra v'shnei drachim v'asid achas tova v'achas v'lo shenia ki betach yeh betov. So people think that what does bitachon mean? That if a person faces some type of uncertain future, things could turn out good or bad. Bitachon means everything is going to turn out good. And if you're uncertain and you think, oh, maybe it's not going to turn out that way, who mechusar bitachon? Such a person lacks bitachon. Or vein hora'a zu bebitachon chon. This is not the correct shaitch of bitachon. Shekol shalom is bar benevua. If there isn't a prophetic vision saying what's going to be in the future, who knows? How could you tell? So bitachon means there is no mikra. There's no happenstance. And anything that happens is bachraza from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, nothing is random. Nothing is haphazard. If it happens, it's because it's supposed to happen. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. Aval inyan bitachon hu ha'emun she'ein mikra ba'olam v'chol ha'na'aseh tachas ha'shemesh hakol. Oh, I read that. Yeah. So bitachon is the emun. And I'll say, well, what's the difference between emuna and bitachon? No. Bitachon is the actualization of emuna, as we'll explain in a moment. So it's the actualization of the emuna that there's hashkacha, basically, that there's hashkacha, that everything happens in the world is a reflection of hashkacha's Hashem. V'kasher adam nifkash b'mikra, asher lefi, I'm skipping a little bit, but you'll, where you have it, asher lefi noeg sheba olam, tzipui elav sakana, midarkei ateva, lefchod, so what does that mean, Lamaisa? Somebody goes ahead and they're in a situation where al piminag ha'olam, they might be in danger. It's a scary matziv. The keshes rucho yarpeu melizko shein ha'mikra adoneha lanu ve'in ma'tor l'Hashem milehoshio ulachin misavivim shiachlifu es kol ha'misavivim. And, you know, because of that danger, so this feeling of weakness overtakes him, and he's not sure you know what's going to be. He doesn't remember that there's no such thing as mikra. In other words, this person is afraid, you know, maybe I'll die, not because I'm supposed to die, but because of mikra. So if that happens, then he lacks bitachon. Rather, he has to remember that if he's supposed to live, so Hashem will make him live. There's nothing stopping, no matter how bad things are. Filu cherev munachas al tzavarecha, al yimnatz b'chamin arachamim. No matter how bad things are, if Hashem wants us to survive, then we'll survive. And accordingly, we should daven. A person should basically think, look, and they should feel it, right? It's easy to say it. And when things are going well, it's easy to believe it. But actually, when things aren't going so well, so then it's hard to believe it. It's a struggle. But what we have to remember is no, be'etzem, there's no more of a likelihood that I'll be saved than I won't be saved, in a sense that it's biyad Hashem. It's biyad Hashem. So to remember, there is no such thing as mikra, no matter how what's happening to us. It's not, might seem like mikra, it's not mikra. Now, an important shaila here is, okay, so does bitachon govern behavior? Meaning to say, is the Bala Bitachon going to do any less ishtadlos because of his Bitachon? So the answer, according to the Chazon Ish, is generally not. In other words, generally speaking, the Bala Bitachon might do the same amount of ishtadlos as the Kofar. If he needs a Parnasa, so he's going to do the same thing. He might study the same number of hours for the LSATs, and he might apply to the same number of law schools. Why? Because it's a chovas ishtadlos. You can't be samech al hanegev. But the attitude that he has while doing it is totally different than the person who doesn't have bitachon. The reason why he's doing this ishtadlos is because he's chayv to do the ishtadlos. Should he not get into the law school, so he won't say, oh, it's because I didn't study enough. Assuming he did appropriate ishtadlos, he'll say, that's what Hashem wished. He didn't want me to get into law school. And should he get into law school, he's going to think, oh, it's not because of my studying, but because Hashem wanted it. However, even Chazon Ish notes that sometimes there will be a difference in the behavior of a botayach. For example, someone with bitachon will never perform acts reflecting desperation. Why? Because that's not part of the chovas ishtadlos. Lemashal, let's say a person recognizes that a certain doctor or treatment is a quack doctor. It's shmantzis, right? And you know, under all circumstances, he would, you know, when he sees things like this, he says, "Oh, this isn't real. This is a phony stuff." And then the person gets sick. And all the conventional medicine doesn't work. And they feel a certain sense of desperation. And they go ahead and they turn to this quack doctor. So that reflects a lack of bitachon. Because in their desperation, they've done an act of desperation, but that's not part of the chovas ishtadlos. And memela, such a person, again, it's very tricky, lemaisa, to figure out what is the chovas ishtadlos. That's not a simple avoda. But if this isn't part of the chovas ishtadlos, then we're not going to go ahead and do something different. The desperate behavior does reflect a lack of bitachon. And along similar lines, Chazon Ish says that turning to unsavory characters for help or the like reflects a lack of bitachon, because the boteach doesn't need to do that. That's not part of the appropriate ishtadlos. Let's take a look at the Chazon Ish, continuing in the Makoros, where we left off. Gam ilos shel hatzala she tavas b'nei adam l'shtadel b'hen mishtanos etzel boteach. So there's sometimes a nafka mina. The behavior of the boteach will be different. Ki tachas lerdof achar nedivim misarim levakish tachbulo shav. So instead of doing far-fetched strategies or turning to wealthy or powerful people, you're going to go ahead and instead do tshuva, tefillah, and tzedaka. And with this, the Chazon Ish, I didn't put this over here, but he explains the famous Rashi in which Yosef is blamed for asking the Sar Mashkim to remember him. And of course, the question is, like, why? Isn't that appropriate ishtadlos? So if we look at the Lashon of Rashi, we'll see that it's not a kasha in light of what the Chazon Ish said. Mipnei, what does Rashi say over there? It's Bereshis Perek Mem, so I didn't put it in your Makoros. Mipnei Shetala Bo Yosef Bitchono LeZachro. Since Yosef put his bitachon in him. So first of all, that's a very important diuk. Like the psukim say, Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach Bashem, Arur HaAdam Asher Yiftach BaAdam. Even when doing a shtadlus, we can't put our bitachon in a person. We can't put a bitachon in our person. And that is so important. Huzkak, Leos Aser Od Shte Shanim, Shinemar, Asher Yagever Asher Sam Hashem Yiftacho, Velo Pana El Rehavim. The Lobatach al Mitzrim Hakruim Rahav. So Rashi makes a very important addition. We have to Botech Bashem and not turn our bitachon to Rahavim, to people who are not going to help us. The Sarah Mashkim, as in fact we see later on, from the fact that he forgets Yosef and then the way he refers to Yosef once he finally remembers him, was not someone who is a nice person or a helpful person, or the like. He was a Rahav. And the Boteach doesn't turn to someone who like that, who's self-centered. That type of ishtadlus is a lack of bitachon. Now, what's significant is that when the Chazon Ish, he does point this out, no svav of that paragraph, I didn't give that to you, but I'll just say it outside, that he doesn't answer what some people might answer, which is, okay, Yosef was such a big tzaddik that on his madrega, this constituted a lack of bitachon. No, because like we saw from the Ramban, even a tzaddik has to do with shtadlus. Rather, the pshat is that turning to such a self-centered person for assistance is an act of desperation and constitutes a lack of bitachon, right? I'll just read you a little bit from what he says there. The amnam biyosha lefit chunas ha-rahavim ein betiv olizkor lehetiv. It is not in the nature of a rahav to remember people, to do good to them. Ein ra'ui ha-maisa hazeh rak mitoch yeyush. That type of behavior is an act of yeyush. It's an act of desperation and the like. Okay, so with that brief hakdama, we can now turn back to the Chazon Ish and Bava Basra. Yes, Roi.
I just want to clarify that the problem that Yosef did is that he turned to specifically the Sarah Mashkin, but it had the guy who had been with him in jail was like a yashar guy. It wouldn't have been a problem.
That's what the Chazon Ish seems to say. And really, that's what Rashi sounds like, because Rashi says the problem was that he turned to a Rahav. Yes, Binyamin.
I know it's a bit to the side, but I'd be curious to hear Rebbe's thoughts on how this applies to lottery tickets.
Yeah, maybe another time. In other words, you can... Yesh Ladun is a lottery ticket... a reasonable hishtadlus, or is it an act of, but I think, I don't want to give a one sentence answer. It is a good question. I think it actually does require some thought and discussion. So since I want to go weiter now, maybe not now, but another time, it's a good ha'ara. Yes, Eitan.
I was just wondering how to square the Chazon Ish with the fact that ultimately Sarah Mashkim did, I mean, he might have been a Rahav, but Lemaisa, he was.
He remembered him when he was in his best interest. And presumably he would have remembered him regardless of whether Yosef asked him or not. It had nothing to do with Yosef's request. When it turned out good for the Sarah Mashkin to remember Yosef, it's going to get him a promotion. So then he remembers Yosef. But asking for a favor doesn't help because they're not going to help you. Only when it suits them. So again, with this, we could go back to the Chazon Ish in Bava Basra, and let's see how they relate to each other. So the Chazon Ish in Bava Basra says V'achrei shabe'emes torasa magenes alehem ve'enem nesunim tachas mikre hateva kashar b'nei adam. He's explaining why is it that the chachamim don't need to pay for the wall. Why? Because since their Torah protects them and they're not nisunim tachas mikre hateva, they're not shaykh to happenstance of nature like other people. So therefore, they're exempt from paying for the wall. Now, this formulation is l'chora shocking because, first of all, didn't the Chazon Ish keep on stressing that nothing happens because of happenstance for all people, right? What did he say again? Inan abitachon hu ha'emun she'en mikre ba'olam. There is no such thing as mikre v'chol anasetach sa'shemesh ha'kol b'achrazamito yisbarach. So on the one hand, in Bava Basri says that only tzaddikim are not tachas mikrei hateva, and yet in Sefer Chazon Ish, Emunah Bitachon, he says not that way. He sounds like nobody is shayach tachas mikrei hateva. That's the first stira. Maybe we will respond that what he says in Bava Basra when he calls mikrei hateva, he means common dangers. In other words, the Chachamim are protected from common dangers while most people aren't. Now, there's Mikrei HaTeva doesn't mean random because they're also initiated by divine decree, as he said in Emunah Bitachon, but rather common dangers. Now, maybe that's the issue, but I want to point out something else, which is the following. We're going to see in today's shiur later on and in coming shiurim that the same type of stira is going to keep on occurring in the writings of many of the Gedolei Rishonim. For example, in the Ramban and in the Ramban, both of them basically have some passages where, like the Chazon Ish, they seem to say that there's no such thing as mikra. And then they have other passages where they sound the opposite. For example, the Rambam in Hilchos Taniyos goes ahead and tells us that, yes, you know, there is no such thing as mikra. And when a person goes ahead and attributes their suffering to mikra, then Hashem will bring upon them more chamas kari. There he's talking about a tzibur, but the Rambam elsewhere applies that idea to Yechidim as well. The Ramban, for example, famously, but in other places as well, at the end of Parshas Bo, writes about how anyone who says that there's such a thing as Tavei Melchilik B'Taris Maisha, and yet, the Ramban, for example, in Bereishis Yudches, next week's Parsha, talks about how Tzadikim, Chasidim, are protected from Mikra, but not regular people. That's what it means, ki yadativ, that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a special chiba for Avraham Avinu, and protect him from mikra. So the same stira, and the Chazon Ish, the Rambam, the Ramban, and others as well. So perhaps we need a more klaliistic answer for this question, and maybe we'll consider that when we learn the Rambam. And probably more importantly, the Ramban is more close, I think, to the Chazon Ish. There's another seeming stira in the Chazon Ish. In Bava Basra, he says that why is it that the Chachamim don't need the protection of the wall? Because they have more bitachon. The degree of ishkacha is contingent on the level of bitachon. It's contingent on the degree to which you place your trust in Hashem. So first of all, as we noted last week, it's not because of their chachma that they're protected and pater from the tax, but rather it's because of their bitachon. But this seems to contradict what he said in Sefer Emunah and Bitachon. Over there, He said, it's not true what people think, that if you have bitachon, you'll be saved. So this answer might be a little simpler. It could be that the Chazon Ish agrees that Hashem rewards a person who trusts in him with extra protection. And accordingly, the Rabbanan are pater from Shmira. All the Chazon Ish was trying to preclude is the notion that bitachon assures protection. In other words, there's a very big difference. Yes, will greater bitachon be rewarded by greater shmira? Yeah, that might be. But it's not the pshat that if you have bitachon, you're guaranteed to be saved. There's a very big difference. And the truth is, this will help explain many, many psukim. Like, for example, the famous psukim in Yirmiyahu Yud Zayin about the difference between a boteach and a non-boteach, or the way the psukim say it is, the boteach ba'Hashem versus the boteach ba'Adam. So we have the Ara Gevar Sheyivtach ba'Hashem, and it talks about basically how things are going to go badly for him. Va'ya ke'ar ba'ava ve'lo yirah, ki'avo tov, versus Baruch HaGevar Sheyivtach ba'Hashem, Vaya Hashem Yivtacho, Vaya Keit Shasu Al Pal Gimayim, the lo yuval, val yuval yishalach sharasha, the lo yirek yavo chom, the haya alehu ra'anan, vishnas betzoras lo yidag, vel yamish me'asos peri. So we could say that no, that doesn't mean, really that just means he's not going to be afraid and he's going to be blessed because he's not going to be so worried. But I think the more pashup shot is that his bitachon will be a reason that he'll be saved, right? The lo yirek yavocho, the hayale ranan. This is a mashal, of course, of the boteach being like a tree with good roots that reach to the water. So he's not going to see when heat comes. He's not going to be harmed by the drought. His leaves will always be green. Why? Because he's a boteach. But bitachon doesn't guarantee salvation. The answer is no, it doesn't guarantee salvation. But it is a reason for salvation. In the zuchus of bitachon, the person will be zocha to greater shmira, and that's what he's saying. So the chachamim, since there is this mida in the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives greater shmira to people with bitachon, memeila, even though it's a fascinating idea, that's like a hashkafic idea, but it plays out halach lemaisa in terms of exempting the Rabbanan from paying for the wall. And this idea, I think, is also alluded to in the Chazon Ish in Sefer Emunah Bitachon at the end over there, O Zion, where he writes, again, you have this on your sheets, Yesh od b'midas bitachon, ki al b'teach shoyre ruach ha-kodesh, u'mislave imo ruach oz ha-mevasro, ki amnam yazreu Hashem. U'kimo sh'amar David HaMelech alav ha-shalom, im tachanel ay machanel lo yira libi, im takum alei mochama v'gomer. So over here, he's talking about an idea that bitachon seemingly will protect a person, and therefore he doesn't need to fear. And the Chazon Ish says, yeah, that's totally in your madrigas habitachon. And as such, I think there isn't a stira between the presentation of Bava Basra and Emuno Bitachon. Okay, so now our main point. I know we're already halfway through, but I'd like to begin discussing Shitas HaRambam in the matter of Hashgacha, which is obviously very related to this. And this is a very controversial point. There are lots of people that say very different things with very strong opinions that they're right. I'll tell you a little bit of why I'm doing it now. So the Siyata Dishmaya, I was I'm trying to finish up volume 3 of my Svarim, which include a unit on Hashgacha Pratis, and there's a chapter on Shitas HaRambam. So my good friend, Rabbi Rafi Stoll, didn't like my Mahalich. in the Rambam. He thought that the Rambam really believes in a more absolute type of Hashgacha. Anyhow, so I think it was a week or so ago, he emails me at like 3 a.m. with like all sorts of rayas against me and kashas on what I have to say. Then like a couple hours later, I get another email from him, Mazel Tov, I had a baby girl. And then a couple hours later, I got another email from him with more rayas as to, you know, why I'm wrong. Which I was just so nispoil over the tremendous Bikush HaEmes that like anyone who knows Rabbi Stoll knows what I'm talking about. But like there's, you know, I'm not right. He's not writing the book. I'm writing the book. But that that there's an absolute desire above all else to understand the truth and to make sure the truth is taught. And so after that, I had no choice but to sort of revisit the topic and look over what I said and am I right? And I still don't agree with Rabbi Stoll, but I also don't agree with what I thought originally. I have a new mahalich, which I want to share with you. I don't know if we'll get to it today. Probably next time we'll get to that point. But I just wanted to say that the zchus of Rabbi Stoll and also Aaron Berman, who's been hacking me about this as well, sort of another person who's truly, truly only desirous to understand the truth. So that certainly caused me to revisit the issue, and I think it's inspiration for all of us that really whenever we're learning, we have to make sure that we're only motivated by understanding Ratzon Hashem and figuring out the MS, and that also that we don't just, even if we think we have a Havana that's correct, that we're willing to revisit the topics and see if maybe we're actually making a mistake. So Bezos Hashem, together we'll learn this, and who knows, maybe we'll end up in a different place than I'm planning to now anyway. So you know, one thing I think we could begin with when talking about the Rambam and Hashgacha is that if someone tells you that all Jewish thinkers believe that everything is subject to Hashgacha Pratis, then they're probably wrong. And if someone tells you that the Rambam denied Hashgacha Pratis, they're also wrong. And I would add that if someone summarizes Rambam Shita in one sentence, they're probably overlooking major parts of this position. And if we're going to understand Shita Sarambam, we're going to have to work very hard on it. I don't know if we will. We might end up with Sears. You know, great people had kashas on the Rambam Shita. But we're going to have to work very hard. And it might be a little bit tedious. And we're going to go back and forth and the like. But the Rambam tells us that effort is really worthwhile. The Rambam writes, and this is the first source you have over here, about how important it is to understand Hashgachas Hashem in the world. And he derives this from the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. This is your first source. We're not even going to read it now because it's already so late. But if you take a look over there, he says that understanding Hashgachas Hashem is something that's really, really important. And as such, the Rambam spends a lot of time trying to explain the nature of Hashgacha. In Mor Nevuchim, section 3, chapters 8 through 24 are really about Hashgacha. And then he comes back to it at the end of the Sefer in chapter 51. He discusses it in many of his other writings, as we'll see. The Rambam thought that understanding this is something that's very worthwhile, very important, and also very, very difficult. In fact, the Rambam writes that he himself came to almost like a providential prophetic revelation while he was trying to actually understand the sugya of Hashgacha. So I think that's something that hopefully we'll also be zocheh to. As I said as well, it's subject to a major debate. In fact, Shmuel ibn Tibon, who was the Rambam's preferred translator of his works from Arabic into Hebrew, wrote a letter to the Rambam in the year 1199, asking him to clarify what he thought is steers in the Rambam regarding Hashgacha. And unfortunately, we don't have the Rambam's answer. We actually have a different answer of the Rambam, which we'll see a little bit later. So it's obviously going to be complex. It's someone as good of a Rambam scholar as Rabbi Shmuel Ibn Tibbon was confused. So we might also be confused. But again, that doesn't exempt us from doing our best to try. Before though we get into the Rambam's discussion in Marn Vuchan, let's take a look at some other writings of his. We'll start with the Rambam Hilchos Taniyos, which actually we alluded to a little bit earlier today. So the Davar Zeh, this is a second source of Davar Zeh, Midarki Atshuvahu. Shebizman shetavol tzar v'izaku ala v'yariyu yedu hakol shebiglal oseim harayim ha'orlahem. V'zehu shiar yigrom lahem lahasir hatzar me'alim. So what happens when Klal Yisrael is experiencing suffering or an impending danger? So there's a mitzvah to respond with trua, with tfila, with tzaka, with tainis. And when they do that, so they'll appreciate, you know, when you have slichos and tainis, so you'll understand that, why is this happening? Because we're doing something wrong. And that response is going to cause the suffering to go away. Avalim lo yizaku, the lo yariyu. El yomru davar zeh minhag olam, ira lanu. V'tzar zu nikra nikres. But let's say you don't. Let's say, you know, why is this happening to us? Geopolitical factors, and I don't know, global warming, and who knows, all sorts of other things is the cause for this tzara. Harezu derech achzarius. This is achzarius. Very interesting word that he chooses. That response, that the reason why this tzara is happening is because of mikra, is achzarius. The Gorem Islam lihidabek b'masi arayim. And what's that going to cause? It's just going to cause you to cling to your evil ways, because you're not going to do tshuva in response to the tzara. Hushkas b'torah, v'halachtem imi b'keri, v'halachti machem b'chamas keri. That's the pshat in the psukim in b'chukosai, that if you go with me in keri, meaning to say, if you attribute your suffering to mikra, so then I, Hashem, will go with you, b'chamas keri. Kilomar, k'shavi aleichem tzara, k'dei shetashuvu, im tomru shu keri, osif lachem chamas oso keri. So that's what the Rambam says. So what actually does achzarius mean in this context? I think usually we translate achzarius as cruelty. I once heard from Rav Tversky, a more appropriate translation would be insensitivity. And to better appreciate that, consider the Rambam and Hilchos Avel over here. The Rambam has a very similar sentiment in Hilchos Avel. So, kol mi she'enu is avel, kamo shetivu chachamim, harei ze achzari. Someone who isn't misavel, like the chachamim have said, is an achzari. In other words, the nihugi avelos aren't just meant to be grief. When a person loses a loved one, of course they're going to be sad, but that's not it. And if you do that, you're not chzari. So what is the right approach? Right? It doesn't say the right approach is to, you know, be sad. Grief. Again, he's not saying grief is bad either, but what are you supposed to do? The response is tshuva. The nihugei avelos are about tshuva. And if you don't do tshuva, you're an achzari. And I think that there could be no doubt that the achzarios that he's referring to in Hilchos Avelos is the same achzarios as he's referring to in Hilchos Taniyos. It's the same thing. It's a lack of tshuva in response to tragedy. So it's not the pshat that achzarius means cruel. I mean, he's harmed nobody but himself. Rather, when a person fails to acknowledge Hashem's role in suffering, he's insensitive. In both cases, the Torah demands a person respond productively to the events of his life. And in both places, achzarios is used to describe the person who associates the events with carry. So that's the first source in the Rambam. There is, it's also true, by the way, maybe we won't read this inside now, but this idea, again, even though in Hilchos Tanios it's said about the Yachid, the Rabbim, Hilchos Avel, it sounds like it's said about the Yachid, and you also see that explicitly he employs the same shot about a Yachid in his letter to the Jews of Marseille, which maybe we'll see a little bit later, but he quotes the same shot from Vayikra Chavav in response to, in the context of the suffering of Yachid. And the truth is that the Rambam himself lived this way. We'll read a little bit from a letter that the Rambam wrote in which he describes how he responded in his own life to a situation of suffering. So in this letter, he's describing this harrowing voyage from Spain to Eretz Yisrael. On Motzei Shabbos, the 4th of Iyar, I set out to sea. On the Shabbos, the 10th of Iyar, in the year 4925, which is 1165, a great wave almost drowned us, and the sea was raging. I took a vow that on those 2 days, I would fast and conduct myself as on a full-fledged fast, myself, my family, and my entire household. I don't know if there are anybody that does, for the descendants of the Rambam, that still does this. But anyway, I will instruct my children to do the same until the end of generations and to give charity in accordance with their ability. My vow included that I would sit in seclusion on the 10th of Iyar. I would not see anybody, but rather I would daven and learn all day by myself, just as on that day at sea I found nobody but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so will I not see anyone or sit with them unless I'm compelled to do so. On Motzei Shabbos, the 3rd of Sivan, I safely disembarked in Accra, and I was saved from persecution, and we reached Eretz Yisrael. That day I vowed to be a day of gladness and joy, feasting and presents for the poor, for me, my family, until the end of generations. So there's not really a chiddush here in this Rambam. I mean, it's pashut, but it's still very moving to see it, right? In other words, there's no shaila that the Rambam, you know, when he experienced suffering, so he responded with tefillah. It was pashutim, it was coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and tainus and the like. And when he experienced salvation, so he responded with hodaya and halal. And the like. So whatever we're going to say in Rambam, right? You know, it's going to have to shtim with these makoros. Now, of course, just because the Rambam believes that some things are shayach tashkacha doesn't necessarily mean that everything is shayach tashkacha. And that's why when we learn the Rambam, we're going to have to figure out exactly what is the scope of hashkacha. That's point number one. Point number two is the Rambam absolutely and in a number of places affirms the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very clear in Maran Vuchim, which we'll read in a minute, but I want to start actually with this letter I referred to before to the Jews of Marseille. This was written in 1194, which, by the way, is after he wrote Maran Vuchim. And the primary focus of this letter is a rejection of astrology. So it's not our Indian right now. But what we're going to look at over here is how the Rambam, again, uses these psukim in Bechukosai and psukim in Yirmiyahu, which we actually just referred to earlier when discussing the Chazon Ish, to highlight this point. And what's particularly important, you should take note of, is, again, how he emphasizes that the events of the world aren't keri. Why? Because if there were, there would be a lack of justice. In other words, what's wrong with saying there's keri? Answer, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tzaddik v'yashar hu. So let's go ahead and take a look. We'll read it in English, I guess. We'll read it in Hebrew. V'anachnu bali haTorah mitis lo ne'amar shem oros b'nei adam heim kari el b'mishpat k'mo shamar haTorah tzur tamim palo ki chod rachav mishpat v'gomer upir shanavi v'amar asher einecha pikuchos al kol darchei b'nei adam laseis l'ish kidrachav u'chafri ma'alav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. So Mimela, Me'oros B'nei Adam can't be carried. Right? Hashem gives everybody what they deserve. He sees them, right? Einecha pekuchos al darach B'nei Adam. You look at people to give them what they deserve. V'aldavar zeh esira Torah ve'ida ve'amra v'imlo tishmu li. Again, the psukim from Bechukosa. If you don't listen to me, v'avi alechem puranos v'tomru she'osan hapuranos einan yisurin al chataschem. El kari ume'ora kasher kashar ha'me'oros she'ir ube'kari. If you just say these things are just like other things that are just mikra, and he also v'lachem me'oso ha'kari zehu she'kasav im telchu mi'be'kari v'alachem ha'mekames kari. Right, and again, here he's not saying it about the tzibor; he's saying it about the yachid as well. V'zehu ikra da'aseinu hitayras Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a fundamental principle of Tayras Moshe. Shekol me'oro she'iru ba'olam, all things that happen in the world, v'chol yisurin she'yavau b'derech mikra l'chlal b'nei adam din u'mishpat lahem. There is justice. V'chein amru, chach me'ames rabu sen olim ha'shalom, ein misbol chet v'in yisurin b'lo avon. That's what Chazal said when they said there's no misbol chet and there's no yisurin b'lo avon. Seems very clear. However, this raises a different question, an obvious question. And this actually brings us back to the very first year we had this year in Elul. I think it wasn't even Elul yet. We talked about then places where, examples where you have to be careful about looking at a particular source. And sometimes, if you just look at one makor without looking at the big picture, you'll end up with the wrong perspective. And we actually quoted this idea. We saw it from the Meiri who makes this point. Now we're going to see it in the Rambam. So the Rambam over here is alluding to a Gemara, Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, going on Talmud Beis. You have it over here. And the Gemara seems to conclude exactly the opposite of what the Rambam is deriving from this Gemara. So what does the Gemara there say? Amar v'ami, emis lochet ben yisurim lo avon. Emis lochet, dechsev ha'nefesh ha'chotas hitamos. Ben l'isa b'avon av, v'av l'isa b'avon ha'ben. Tidikas ha'tzadik alav, tiyev v'rshas ha'resha, alav tiyev v'gomer. Ein yisurim lo avon, dechsev hukadati b'shevet pish'am, uv'nig'am, uv'nig'aim avonav. So Rami says, there's no misa b'lochet, there's no yisurin b'lochet, there's mishpat, right? How could a person die? How could a person suffer if they're not deserving? The Gemara asks kashas on this. Meisvei, amon lecha shayis l'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, mepnei ma kanasta misa l'adam harishon, amon lehem, mitzvah kala tzivisiv v'avar leh, amon lo, v'alo Moshe v'aron, kiyemu kalta kula u'meisu, amon lehem, mikra achad l'tzadik v'larasha l'tov. So the Malachim Tainad, why is it that Moshe and Aaron die? One second. They didn't sin. They didn't sin. I understand Adam. There's misa in the world because of Adam. But what did Moshe and Aaron do? How come they died? And the Gemara answer, and the Hashem answers the Malachim, there's one event for the Tzaddik and the Rasha. So what do we see? We see that it's not true. There is misa b'lochet. So the answer, the Gemara says, yeah, Hudama, meaning Rav Ami will tell you. Kiai Tana, different Tana. Detani, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Av Moshe v'Aaron b'chata mesu. Shenemar, Yan lo emantem bi, ha emantem bi, adayin lo yivya zmanchem li patim olam. Very interesting idea. Machlokas Tanayim, possibly. Or at least there's one, yeah, Machlokas Tanayim, whether Moshe and Aaron died with or without a chait. Fine. So at least Rav Ami is not slugged up, even though there is a brisa against him, but there could also be a brisa which is compatible with his position. Meisvei, Arba Meisu, B'tayo Shal Nachash, Elohim, B'nyamin B'nyankev, Amram B'avi Moshe, B'yishai Avi David, B'kalev and David. One second, there are four people that died without any Aveira at all. They're free of sin. Money. Now, who is the author of this brisa? Don't tell me it was the first brisa that we quoted, because according to that brisa, it wasn't just those four, Moshe and also David without chait. Allah, Allah, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he so must be the latter brisa that Aaron and Moshe died because of their chataim. And still, even that Tana holds that there are four people that died without chait. Slugged up, right? It doesn't go actually like either brisa. And it's a pircha. Tiyufta Rami, Tiyufta Rav Ami is rejected. Gevaldik. So this is very sure, because we just saw the Rambam say, quote the Gemara, that Ein Misa B'lochet. And the Gemara actually concludes, Yesh Misa B'lochet. How are we supposed to understand that? So as I think we talked about earlier in this man, that if this were a halachic sugya, then Rambam would certainly have ruled in accordance with Rav Ami. But the way we approach an agadic sugya, ashkafic sugya, is a little different. And even if it appears that a particular position is a minority view, or even rejected in one particular case, like Rav Ami, if there's reason to suspect that it's true, based off of lots of other sources, then in fact, we're going to accept that view. The Rambam writes that the reason why we believe Ein Misa B'lochet is because look at all the psukim that say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. And if you think that Misa B'lochet is a stira to justice, so then how could that be? And that's why the Rambam accepts Rav Ami. As I mentioned, this is not the only place that the Rambam accepts Rav Ami's view. It also appears in Mor Nevuchim 3:17. So let's take a look over there. V'anachnu namin shekol elu anyanim hanoshim him kifi hadin. So whatever happens to people is al pi din. It's just. V'ashem chalila lo ma'u chas v'shalom. To say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do something unjust. Right? Hashem's not going to punish anyone who's not deserving of punishment. Zeu HaKasav B'Toras Moshe, Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom, Ki HaKol Nimshach Achar Hadin. Right? Like we saw in the the Torah. Ve'al zeh hadas nimshechu divrei hamon chachameinu zal. This perspective is in accordance with most of the chachamim. Why does he say hamon? Or almost all the chachamim? Why does he say most? Because Rambam acknowledges that there are those who disagree. There are those who say, yeah, taka, there's misa b'lochet. But that's not our view. It's not the majority view. Sha'ata timsem omrim bevir ein misa b'lochet, ein misa b'layafo. Varmu b'midash adem oded, ba modedim lo, zet lashna mishnah. Uviru, uviru, b'chol makom, sha'mishpat mechuyav b'chrech b'chukol yisala. V'hu sheyigmol ha'over al kol ma sheyaseh, Right? So it's very also interesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish a person if they do something that's wrong, even if a prophet didn't command them, because they could figure it out. Very much relates to Parshas HaShavua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and he punishes the people of stone. Why? Why would they do wrong? The Pasuk in Yechezkel says, Yad ani ve'vyal nochziku. Right? They didn't do tztaka. Like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, if you say shali shalim shalcha shalcha, you're not a thief. You just don't give tztaka. That's me, the stone. But one second. There's no mitzvah. Some of the Shevin mitzvahs when they know to give tztaka. Why are they destroyed? Because they didn't give tztaka. Says the Rambam over here. No, the person can figure it out, even if there is no tzivui anavi. They're liable. Shianosh, I'll call myself Ra. Shiasehu ish. Vafel pishalo hazer mimenu aide navi. Achashu davar shasechel mazir mimenu. Why? Because the sechel is mechayev it. Because sechel is mechayev. Ratzal omar, ahazhara in a avel vachamas. Amu eina kodesh baruch hu mefakeach, schar kol birya. Vamu kol omer, kodesh brichu vatran, who? Yivatrun moi. Ella, mairich apel, the gabe delay. So kodesh baruch hu, we mairich apayim. He's a rachon, but he's not going to be mevatir. Vamu eno dome mitzvah, mitzuviosa, So Rambam once again over here clearly says we accept the view of Ein Misabloched. Why? Because that's the overwhelming perspective of the Torah. Now there is another place in the Gemara where it sounds like we have this possibility of Misabloched, or Yisurin at least, below Avon. And that's the concept of Yisurin Shalava. It's come on, Brachos, in the first parak, among other places. Now, what does Yisurin Shalava mean? Not very clear, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yisurin because he loves a person? What's that all about? So the Rambam understands, this might be the view of Rashi, though I think Rashi is a little more complex, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes causes a person to suffer in order to increase their reward, right? That's why these Yisurin are Yisurin Shalava. To give the tzaddik more reward, he's going to send them Yisurin. The Rambam, now that might not be the only way to understand that Gemara. The Ramban in Shar Gemara has a different shot. Maybe we'll see it another time. But at least the Rambam understood the Gemara that way. So the Rambam says this is difficult because that is actually suffering without a sin. Now, I guess it's not really unjust in the sense because you're going to be rewarded for it. But nevertheless, you can't say, the Rambam says, this is not in keeping with the idea of Kichol D'Rachav Mishpat Kela Munah Ve'Ein Avel. And that's what the Rambam says over here. You have it over here. He says that that there are those in Chazal that say this idea, but we don't accept it. We don't accept it. We reject that idea. So with that, we'll say that's going to be the first part of the Rambam. And next week, we're going to pick up with the second part. The second part, you know, everything we saw so far in the Rambam certainly indicates that he believed in absolute hashkacha. When a person suffers, they can't be toilet in mikra. The concept that a person would suffer without deserving it is a lack of justice. And so far, that's what it sounds like from the Rambam. And what we'll see, Bezus Hashem, next week are perhaps other texts in the Rambam that seem to give a different message, and we'll try to understand how they could be, how they're compatible. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, so to clarify, Rabbi, at the end, Rabbi was saying that even though Yisrael Shalava technically seem to be some sort of injustice. So how do we stem the two Rambams?
Well, the Rambam says that we don't. There is a view in Chazal that believe in Yisur and Shalava, right? Rambam says we don't accept that view. In other words, that view is similar to the perspective of Yesh Misa Belochet, which is not the view we accept. So I was just pointing out that even the opinion that says there is such a thing as Yisur and Shalava, which again, according to the Rambam, means Hashem causes somebody to suffer in order to increase their schar, that's not unjust in a certain sense, because you're getting rewarded for it. But still, the Rambam felt that such a mita contradicts the principle of tzaddik v'yasharhu, and that's why he rejects it.
So the Rambam doesn't accept the Gemara and Brachos at all? Is that what you're saying?
The Rambam thinks that Gemara and Brachos reflects a minority opinion.
So he gives pshat in it, but then says like we don't
right.
hold
we don't,
by that.
Exactly. That's not our position. That's not the accepted position.
Okay. And also, Rebbe was saying in the beginning of the shir that I'm not sure if I got it the right way. That the Chazon Ish was saying that in the Hanami that you can get the Hashachah guarantees a greater level of shmira, but not complete Yeshua. Is that what you're saying?
Not. It's the right. Not right. A reward for bitachon is shmira, but there's no guarantee. In other words, the view he's rejecting is someone who thinks if I just have bitachon, then I'm guaranteed to be saved, right? If a tzaddik has enough bitachon, the enemy, the rasha, won't kill it. And that's wrong. There's no guarantees. Unless you have a navi, there's no guarantees. That doesn't mean that Hashem protects those who are boteach more. But there's a very big difference between saying that bitachon is rewarded by shmira and saying bitachon guarantees shmira. And that's the difference. You know, the difference between 99% and 100%. But
right.
It's only 1%, but it's huge. It's a world of difference. Because what it means is that you're not guaranteed. And if the tzaddik, if the boteach suffers, so we understand. Sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes, for whatever reason, it's Rosh Hashem, that even though this tzaddik has a lot of bitachon, he's going to be persecuted. He's going to get killed. He's going to be murdered.
So that's enough.
It's not because he didn't have bitachon, as opposed to the view that he rejects, which would seem to say, and that's what the Chazon is saying, it's inconceivable, that it's impossible. Like, oh, must be he lacked bitachon. How could you say such a thing?
Right. So it's not mean that when something bad happens.
Right.
Not is that when something bad happens, how do you view that? Do you view that because
right.
you, does it imply a lack of bitachon, or does it mean that, okay, you're a human being
right.
and that's how
right.
Hashem
it's
doesn't
not
do everything
guaranteed? And accordingly, the tzaddik can't think, okay, if I just have bitachon, I'll be saved. No, there's no guarantee. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his own cheshbonos, and we don't know. We don't understand them.
Okay.
All right. Shkayach.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.